Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. We're broadcasting from my basement out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. I'm a homeschool father of five, and we raise our kids out here with a distinctively Christian worldview. That is, everybody's got a worldview. Every education's got a worldview. It's just, you pick the right one. You say, well, what's the right one? Is it the naturalistic, evolutionary, materialistic worldview that is enforced by the Supreme Court of the United States, where there is no fear of God, no reverence for God, no prayer to God allowed in the school classroom? Or is it that God exists and the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, so let's not get into the business of knowledge and wisdom without the fear of God and a recognition of the existence of God and the glory of God? Okay, so two different worldviews. Which one will you take? Be sure you choose the right one in the education of your children. It's critical. All right, well, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy in studio with me today. We're going to come back to politics. We don't do this very often. Why? Because we are not Rush Limbaugh. And secondly, we're not socialists. That is, we don't believe that all of life consists of politics. But keep it around 5-10%. Should be about 5-10% of life involves civil government and needs to go after the bad guys from time to time. Hang the murderer from time to time. Capital punishment for murder is essential for the civil magistrate. Just doesn't happen very often. Well, today, let's take a look at what the government's doing in relation to the biggest murder problem in this country. The biggest problem that the civil magistrate really needs to be addressing. Would you say, Bill, that the shedding of innocent blood should be at the top of the list when it comes to the agenda for the civil magistrate?
I think so, because we should care for those who are the helpless, most helpless among us.
Of course, yeah, you're right. Because
those who have no voice.
Babies in the womb.
That's correct.
Have no voice, they're the most helpless. So civil government should be concerned about this. So let's give the federal government, that is the Trump administration and the Republican-run Congress, don't they have both houses now?
I think they have both houses and the executive branch.
Incredible. Yes. Incredible.
And, they are wasting their opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about what the Republican-run government of the United States of America is not doing. We're going to give them a report card at the end of this section of the program. In April of 2017, you know, Congress struck a deal for a roughly $1 trillion spending bill to avert a government shutdown. You know, they did that back in April. And it was largely a victory for the Democrats. The House and Senate came to an agreement on a larger omnibus spending bill to fund the government through September. That would have been last month. The bill did not include money for the wall, which was, I think, Trump's desire. It did not include a cut of federal funding to Planned Parenthood. All right, so, but it did include a little bit of military spending, and all that to keep the government from shutting down.
No, when was the last time that the government shut down and people noticed?
Oh, I know. Yeah. And didn't hold a party.
Right.
And celebrate. No. I think what's happening is that when there's a gun to the head, the Republicans blink. Every single time. You just don't want the government shutting down. Well, the president of the United States needs to veto some more until there's not a dime of funding for the slaughter of innocent children and the trading of baby flesh on the market. You agree with that?
I agree.
Is it a time to use the veto and shut down the cotton-picking government? Shut it down, man. Shut it down before God burns the nation down.
I was encouraged by his comments at the Values Voter Summit. You know, his statement was that we need to return to the idea that we do not worship government, we worship God.
I like that.
I've heard that before.
And I like the rhetoric, but friends, I'm looking at the record, all right? So we're giving it the record. Now we're going to look at the positives and negatives of the Trump administration on babies, because we're most concerned about the preservation of human life, the lives of millions of babies across America. Let's move on to the pain-capable abortion ban. Mm. That's a sad story, too. It passed the House for the second time. But what they're saying, Bill, is that this pain-capable abortion ban is not going to pass the U.S. Senate. And here's why. Because they do not want to push the Democrats to the filibuster
and then shut the filibuster down because they're just so afraid that the Democrats are going to use the same technique on them someday. And they're afraid that if they do the right thing, then it may affect the wrong thing down the road. What is this? Pragmatism.
Yes.
Can you say pragmatism?
It's also worse than that. It's fear. It's fear of doing what is right. You know,
why is that? Why do they fear?
They fear because they have too much skin in the game. They have
their lives,
reputation,
their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. They wouldn't put that on the line, would
they
for this?
No, not for this.
Not for this.
Yeah.
Not for this.
Yeah.
Our forefathers did, though.
Yes, they did.
All right, so that's the deal, friends. The pragmatists running the U.S. Senate are not going to do a cotton-picking thing for the sake of the babies whose blood is crying out to God for vengeance. Every drop of that blood is crying out to Almighty God, who, by the way, is much more concerned about human life, much more concerned about the just demands of his holy law than we are. You agree with that, Bill?
Yep. You know, it's really amazing because we rarely hear that kind of language about pro-life and about the need to protect the unborn, yeah, even from the pulpit. So why should we expect our legislators, our lawmakers, to pass legislation that we won't even hear in the churches?
Bill, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad because what are we talking about here? The pain-capable abortion ban. The pain. These are babies capable of feeling pain. So the question that is before the U.S. senators is this: shall we allow abortionists to torture children to death or just kill them? The Democrats say,
do whatever you want to.
Torture, kill them, pull them apart, torture them to death. We're good for that. So the Democrats are saying, the U.S. Senate, the Republicans are saying, yeah, go ahead and torture them to death. That's what they're saying. And it seems to me we shouldn't just be arguing over whether to torture a child to death or just murder them in cold blood. You see what I'm saying? It seems to me there's something wrong with that, too. You follow me, Bill?
Well, there was an exhibit at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science a few years ago, and they brought all kinds of students, groups, through from grade school all the way through high school, and it was about the Aztec and the Mayans. And there was a god called Tlaloc, and it was the god of fertility and the god of planting and harvest. And the inscription on the stone was that only by the tears and the blood of innocent children will he be satisfied. And so they would sacrifice, not just sacrifice, mind you, they would torture their children and kill them to satisfy this god. We have done the same thing. We just do it inside the womb.
Oh, boy, that's a severe, severe example of what is going on for the sake of convenience abortion and just for the sake of serving the god of pleasure and the god of self, who just demands it and demands it and demands that you kill as many kids as possible. You know, the pictures, the silent screams, the ultrasounds, the science made available since 1973 have really pressed upon the national conscience, and the culpability for killing these children is rising with each administration. The culpability is rising, and the conscience of the Republican Party is deadening and deadening even more and more and more. Well, let's look a little bit about what President Trump has done now. So we've talked about the Congress. I'll give the Republican Congress an F.
Yeah,
as far
I'm going to say I'll agree with you on that.
Yeah, I'll give the Republican Congress an F. Not to say that there aren't some decent men in the Congress, but I'm saying, friends, the Republican Congress has earned an F so far this year for the protection of human life. Now, as far as the president's concerned, the president has actually done something recently that I think is important. And that is, under Obama, Obama brought into play a contraceptive mandate for his Obamacare healthcare plan. And the contraceptive mandate required that the insurance companies pay for the abortifacient contraceptives, that is the birth control pill with abortifacient capabilities, without any copay whatsoever. So in other words, freebie. This was arguably the most powerful thing that Obama did. in the last 8 years. And that is because he made it free. He made it absolutely free for 55 million women in America to kill their babies by abortifacients, by the birth control pill, which has that abortifacient capability to it. And he did it by government funding. So, in other words, he broke out abortion and abortifacient use much more than any president had done since perhaps 1973. I don't know. There's been some slow and steady increases in the use of abortifacients, contraceptives, and abortions. And there are far, far more babies killed by the use of abortifacients and chemicals than there are those that are killed by DNC abortions and your typical surgicals. So I just want everybody to know that there's been a massive increase in the killing of innocent babies at the hands of their mothers who use contraceptives with abortifacient qualities just over the last 8 to 10 years. And the president of the United States, President Trump, reversed that just, what, last week?
Just last week.
So that's worth writing home about, Bill.
Yeah.
You agree with that?
I agree.
That's check one for the president of the United States. And reversed the contraceptive mandate allowing employers to skip that particular requirement in the insurance plan.
And immediately he's being sued by several states.
Oh, is he?
And by several organizations, including the ACLU, including Planned Parenthood.
Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know how many local states, how many of the insurance companies will join with the president and allow for something of an exception. Of course, there will be Christian companies here and there that will be allowed something of an exemption, and we appreciate that. And so, yeah, we might wind up saving about 30 lives. But we're not going to be saving the millions upon millions unless Congress pulls its act together and does something decent for the first time in, what, 80 years? I don't know. Well, we're giving the Republican Congress an F, and we're giving Trump a C, or I'm giving Trump a C.
I'm going to bump that one up. I'm going to take exception because of that, but what we just talked about, because of his language at the Value Voters Summit, okay, even though it's just rhetoric, and because recently I think the rulings or the language at the HHS, Human Services, Health and Human Services,
that's right,
was changed to include the unborn. I'm going to bump it up to a B maybe.
About a B. Okay. All right. Bill gives the President of the United States a B for the protection of human life this year. And I give him a C.
And you know why that is? Mm-hmm. It's because I'm used to public school and I always grade on a curve.
Okay.
And you don't. You don't grade on a curve.
You're saying he's doing better than George W.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. Be back with more on the Generations broadcast in just a moment. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way, protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. Talking politics on this edition of the Generations broadcast today. Bill Jack in studio with me. This is Kevin Swanson. And Bill, you know, the nation is shifting. There's no question the nation is shifting. Red to blue, red to blue, red to blue, and blue to red. And, you know, one thing I did that I think was interesting was I wanted to see the trending by state across the United States. Are you curious?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to know, are there some states getting better and some states getting worse? So I went to the blue-red chart trending on presidential campaigns per state since 1972. Are you curious?
Yes.
Well, now, I'm assuming blue is evil from
blue
the outset.
Blue is evil.
Blue is evil.
So you wouldn't sing the song, I'd rather be blue, thinking of you. I'd rather be blue over you than be happy with somebody else.
I would not rather be blue.
No? Mm-mm. It's a Barbara Streisand song, which would account for something.
She's
wouldn't
pretty much
it? Yes.
Leftist and liberal.
Yeah. I'd rather be blue.
Okay, right.
Thinking of you. Why did you just cut off my mic?
That's enough.
Why did you cut off my mic?
I just, Kevin.
I just
shut
you
down,
me?
Ben.
Can you hear me?
Okay, all right. All right. So assuming that blue is evil, now what we're saying is that states that move more Democrat, almost without exception, are saying, yeah, let's kill babies. And let's be sure that we teach our children about Harvey Milk, pedophiles, and about homosexuality and how to be a homosexual. So now, generally speaking, that's the way that Democrats vote. That's typically how the Democrat appointed Supreme Court justices operate on the bench. Agreed?
Yeah.
They tend to be in favor of big government and undermine the morality of the people as much as possible, because either you'll be governed by God's law or by God's providence, you will be tyrannized. You'll be governed. Either you'll be governed by God or by God, you'll be governed. Either you'll be self-governed. Either the nation will be moral at its roots. Either the family structure will be strong and there will be some restraint upon killing babies and destroying family and sexuality. Or there will be a significant tyranny. Now, typically, Democrats are in favor of both. They want to tyrannize the living daylights out of a nation, and they want to kill as many babies as possible. And so if that be the case, if blue is evil, then what we find in the blue-red chart, look at the nation at the top. I've opened up the chart for Bill Jack, who was watching it. By the way, you can look it up yourself. Just simply do the blue-red trend. Do a search for blue red state trending, and you'll find that the nation as a whole, that is the United States of America, has gotten more evil since 1990.
That is correct.
You see that? Okay. In other words, moving what?
Moving
more bluish.
More blue.
More bluish. All right. The nation is, and that's no secret. That's
and that
no
makes
secret.
Me blue. That makes me sad.
That's no secret. But yeah. There are states that are trending more red, and there are states that are trending more blue. The states that are trending more blue, here they are. Are you ready? Virginia, Nevada, Colorado, Maine, Illinois, Hawaii, Maryland, Michigan, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, Vermont, Oregon, Washington, California. Now, what is that? That means that the states that are getting worse and worse are those that are on the West Coast. California, Washington, and Oregon are getting worse. That's no secret whatsoever. If there's anything bad going on in the nation, you know it's probably going to happen in Washington, Oregon, and California. Well, also Colorado, Nevada, the western states, have turned more blue over the last 45 years. And the Northeast, Maine down to New Hampshire, down into Connecticut and so forth, New Jersey. These northeastern seaboard states have gotten worse and worse. The West Coast has gotten worse. Colorado, Nevada have gotten worse.
The northeastern seaboard's
gotten worse. And Virginia has gotten more evil.
I think Colorado has been affected by the influx of Californians.
That may be the case.
Because they're fleeing the policies that are enacted in California that are restrictive in business and personal lives. But they flee to Colorado, and then what happens is they bring their policies with them, and they don't understand that the policies that they fled are the ones that are the problem.
All right, so the state's getting more evil. The states that are more and more opposing God, God's righteousness, and of course, breaking down personal liberties as much as possible are the West Coast states, the Northeastern states, Colorado, Nevada, and Virginia. These are the states that have gotten more evil in the United States since 1972. Now, the states that have become a little redder. Now, just the fact that states are getting redder doesn't mean that they're getting more righteous. There's a possibility they are. So, you know, it's hard to say unless we can identify certain areas in which that may be happening. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples in just a moment. But Alabama, South Carolina, Kentucky, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Tennessee have gotten more red over the last 40 years. And that's largely because they are Southern Democrat states that have turned Republican. All right, friends. Well, only a few Southern states are trending conservative. And that's only because they're still moving from the Southern Democrat to Southern Republicans. They used to be the Southern Democrat. We just hate the North Party in the 1860s, 1870s, 1880s, 1890s. And it took them about 80 to 90 years to figure out that the Democrats had turned liberal way back in 1908. It just takes them a while to figure that out. And for the reason that many of them are not principled, they're just voting the way their grandfathers voted. They're not voting for principle. They're just voting for how their grandfathers voted. So over the last 40 years, Southern Democrats have shaken off their roots and they've gone Republican. Now, back in the 1860s, the Republicans were far more Marxist. They fought hard for welfare, for the National Bank, for feminism, for confiscating property and giving it to the poor. Guys like Thaddeus Stevens had this was the hardcore leader of the Republicans in the House of Representatives in the 1860s. Thaddeus Stevens, hardcore Republican. And Thaddeus Stevens was one of the men that was approved of by Karl Marx himself. Karl Marx was a big fan of Thaddeus Stevens for all of his pushing towards the confiscation of private property and the redistribution to the poor. That was a big deal for the Republicans in the 1860s. And they were, for the most part, very pro-police state. So, again, it wasn't the Democrats. It was the Republicans that were tended to be very, very Marxist from the beginning. And, friends, you've really got to read the story. I'm writing a U.S. history book that will be released at the turn of the next year. So, you say, well, what happened to the Democrats? The Democrats were for less government up through the 1880s and the 1890s, up until about 1908. So what happened to the Democrats? Woodrow Wilson happened to the Democrats. Woodrow Wilson happened to the Democrats. Woodrow Wilson. He was a nice Presbyterian boy raised by a conservative Presbyterian father who was a stated clerk of the Southern Presbyterians from 1865 to 1898. Oh, yes, it was Woodrow Wilson. That was the nice conservative Southern Presbyterian boy from the 1870s, 80s, and 90s. And when Woodrow Wilson took over Princeton in 1902, he stopped the Bible classes across the university. You know how Princeton moved from Charles Hodge and A.A. Hodge and some of those conservatives, you know, in the 1860s, 70s, and 80s. You say, well, how did Princeton turn into a university that now, by the way, they've got a staff professor who advocates bestiality, incest, and the infanticide? You know, I'm talking about Peter Singer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he works for Princeton, you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
He was in Australia.
Well, you say,
Princeton.
how does that happen? How do you
in
get...
In the ethics department.
How do you get the liberalization of Princeton University, the College of New Jersey? How does that... Woodrow Wilson. Friends, can you say the word Woodrow Wilson? Yes, of course. Woodrow Wilson. He became a Darwinist in his politics. In 1908, wrote a book called The Constitutional Government of the United States, in which he said living political constitutions must be Darwinian in structure and practice. What he said, Bill, was he said we've got to bring Darwinianism in as the basis for law and politics. This is how we develop an evolving society in which we progress and take our society from a society that frowned on divorce to a society that approves of bestiality, incest, and homosexuality. How do you do that? You have to do it by way of Darwinism in your politics. Friends, a quote again from Woodrow Wilson, the Constitutional Government of the United States. He wrote, living political constitutions must be Darwinian in structure and practice. Now, all right, so that's how Woodrow Wilson shifted the Democrats to progressivism around 1908. Not the only guy to do it, but he was certainly an important leader of the Democratic Party to move it to what we have today. Woodrow Wilson took the Democrats from the South and the North and turned it liberal. And it took Alabama and Tennessee about 80 years to figure out what happened.
It took them a while, Bill, before people in Tennessee and Alabama figured out, I do believe the Democratic Party has turned liberal on us.
You know, what's interesting, you pointed out earlier that a lot of people voted the way their grandfathers voted. And I recall my grandmother voted for Reagan. Very first time she voted Republican, because she was a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat, because we were raised in, and she had been raised in, coal country.
Yeah.
And the Democrats were union people,
yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
they supported the unions, and Republicans were supposed to be big business people.
Yeah.
And that was the mantra. And she almost felt embarrassed when she voted for Reagan. Mm-hmm. But you know why she did?
Why?
Over the abortion issue.
Abortion issue, yes.
Yeah.
And I think
that was the
issue that catalyzed many of the conservative Democrats to move more towards the Republican Party. And friends, Virginia sadly has gotten more liberal, but Alabama, Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, maybe even Texas are the states that are trending a little more conservative. South Carolina, they've got a personhood amendment that's got a shot at passing.
Really?
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
A South Carolina personhood amendment has a shot at passing and being signed by the governor. We'll see how that works out. Texas pro-life laws last year, pretty good. And then in Alabama, I think hats off to Judge Roy Moore and the state of Alabama that are electing him and moving him towards the position of U.S. Senator. He's made it through the Republican primary in flying colors, despite the opposition from Donald Trump.
That's right.
And his buddy Pence.
Yep. Who endorsed the incumbent.
That's right. Judge Roy Moore, twice removed by liberal judges from a position as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. You remember that? Not just one, but two times. First time he's removed over the Ten Commandments. Second time he's removed because he was dragging his feet somewhat on the implementation of sodomic marriages and mirages in the state of Alabama. The second time he was more or less removed by the activities of a transvestite, starlet somebody, 6 foot high, tall guy in high heel shoes named Starlet. And with a little help from the Southern Poverty Law Center, he was pulled out. Now, sadly, the political machine in the state of Alabama is pretty liberal. And so Judge Roy Moore just did not survive as Supreme Court Justice of the state of Alabama because the leaders lack principle in the state of Alabama.
Political Magazine has an article September 23rd of this year saying it's entitled The Resurrection of Roy Moore. Alabama's would-be senator has a long history of bucking the system, suffering the consequences, and bouncing back.
And he does so by the grace of God. We had
We
had dinner with Roy Moore about 5 or 6 months ago, and I had a long conversation with him. And the substance of it was, are you going to run for U.S. Senate? What do you think? You know what he said? He said, if God allows for it, I'm submitting to God's will in this matter. And he says, if God puts me in that position, it will be God who controls these elections, and it will be God who puts me in that seat in Washington, D.C. So he submitted himself to the sovereignty of God over the elections. He was absolutely convinced that God is completely sovereign over the governments of men. That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
It's a lot of strong faith. That man quoted entire chapters of the Bible as we were sitting around having dinner with him and his wife. Not something? Judge Roy Moore, friends, you need to pray for him. I encourage you to pray for this man. The bad guys are looking to destroy the last righteous person alive. He is more or less the last prophetic voice in politics in America. And I think maybe God would have him in the U.S. Senate, that there might be something of a prophet. You know, Jeremiah still has to hang out in Judah, in Jerusalem, all the way to the end. You with me?
Yeah.
You got to have a Jeremiah to the end. You got to have a righteous man in the U.S. Senate. And I pray that God would raise up Roy Moore to be that voice in the U.S. Senate. And my friends, let's pray for God's mercy upon the nation. Remember that God destroys nations for two reasons: the addiction to the shedding of innocent blood and homosexuality. Leviticus 20, verse 23, we're speaking to Israel and speaking of the pagan nations that lived in Canaan at that time. Leviticus 20 speaks of the sins of incest and homosexuality, and then God says, you shall not walk in the manners of this nation, or the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. That's the reason why God destroyed those nations over the sins of homosexuality and the sins of incest and all the rest. These sexual sins were the reasons why God brought destruction upon Canaan. And you say, well, wow, God wouldn't do that today because we're such nice people. We're nicer people.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Nope.
I don't think so, friends. No, it's time, of course, to humble ourselves before the Lord and cry out for his mercy upon this land. And I trust that Roy Moore will do that. Well, my friends, we're done with this edition of the Generations broadcast. As we speak of the civil magistrate, and you want to know, should Christians get involved? And what is our agenda, especially as we are terribly outnumbered by the forces of darkness? What do we do? Well, that's why I wrote the book Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Get a copy of Freedom for yourself and for your children and for your grandchildren, because I believe that we may have a shot at returning freedom somewhere in the free world. I believe there will be a shot at returning freedom. But what is freedom? And how do we return it to the free world? Even as God has enabled this nation to be a free nation over the last 300 years, how do we return freedom to the free world? Get a copy of my book, Freedom, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's Monday, October 23rd, AD 2017. This is the World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Christians attending a worship service in Jarapara Village in India were brutally assaulted by suspected Hindu radicals on Sunday, October 15th, reports International Christian Concern. According to witnesses, more than 300 people encircled the BCM church around noon as a worship service was being conducted. The mob then disrupted the service, dragging Christian worshipers out of the church and into the street. There, the mob ordered the Christians to renounce their faith. When the Christians refused, the mob beat the Christians with sticks and slippers, and then set fire to the church's furniture. In a recent major crackdown on sex trafficking operations in the U.S., the FBI, through their Innocence Lost National Initiative, has rescued 84 minors. Among the minors rescued were children as young as a 5-year-old girl and her 3-month-old sister. And according to RelevantMagazine.com, the FBI arrested 120 human traffickers. FBI Director Christopher Wray said, quote, "We at the FBI have no greater mission than to protect our nation's children from harm," end quote. Melania Trump has significantly reduced the number of aides on the First Lady's office payroll in comparison to her predecessor, Michelle Obama, from 16 to 4, reports Fox News. The First Lady is saving taxpayers $753,300 a year. Miguel Martinez, a man from Casper, Wyoming, who presents himself as Michelle, could face up to 70 years in prison after he was found guilty last Wednesday by a 12-person jury of sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl in a bathroom, according to the Casper Star Tribune. Evangelist Franklin Graham concluded his Decision Texas tour last Thursday night before 9,000 people at Maud Cobb Convention in Longview, where he warned that hatred is a growing problem in America, reports the Longview News Journal. Graham said, quote, "It does not matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent. I think all of us agree our country is in trouble. The level of hatred in the media today toward our president is unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this in all my life," end quote. He said, quote, "The swamp is too deep," end quote, referring to Trump's famous slogan on draining the swamp in Washington, D.C. Quote, "The only person who can fix the problems of this nation is God. End quote. Isaiah 60:12 says, "For the nation and kingdom that will not serve you shall perish. Those nations shall be utterly laid waste." A California public library is drawing criticism from Christians and praise from the Church of Satan for hosting a children's story hour featuring a drag queen dressed as a five-horned demon, The Blaze reported. As part of LGBT History Month, the Michelle Obama Neighborhood Library in Long Beach hosted drag queen Xochi Mochi for its Drag Queen Story Hour a week ago Saturday. American conservative editor Rod Dreher wrote, quote, "Remember, public librarians invited this lunatic to come read books to children, and parents chose to send their little ones to hear it." End quote. Millennials are spiritually confused and misguided. According to a UPI report, more than half of young adults in the U.S. believe astrology is a science, compared to less than 8% of the Chinese public. The psychic services industry, which includes astrology, aura reading, mediumship, tarot card reading, and palmistry, is now worth $2 billion annually. Melissa Jane, owner of Brooklyn-based metaphysical boutique Catland, said she has seen a major uptick in interest in the occult in the past 5 years, especially among New Yorkers in their 20s. The store offers workshops like Witchcraft 101, Astrology 101, and a spirit seance. Leviticus 19:31 says, "Do not turn to mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Former Fox News star Bill O'Reilly personally paid former legal analyst Lise Wheel $32 million to settle a sexual harassment lawsuit against him just a month before 21st Century Fox renewed his contract and bumped his $20 million annual salary to $25 million, reports the New York Times. O'Reilly allegedly sent Wheel pornographic images. Fixer-upper stars Chip and Joanna Gaines of Waco, Texas, have responded a second time now to rumors that they decided to end their hit HGTV show because of marital issues, reports the Gospel Herald. This is what Chip told Today anchor Savannah Guthrie.
"For us, the most important thing in the world is Joe and I's relationship, followed very quickly by these four beautiful kids. And we didn't want to push it, redline it for so long that we woke up and realized we are at a point of no return, you know. So we wanted to take a step back and focus on the thing that was absolutely the most important thing to us in the world, which is Joe and I's relationship."
Hercules actor Kevin Sorbo is teaming up with his wife Sam Sorbo and conservative political commentator Sean Hannity for a powerful new film, Let There Be Light, reports the Gospel Herald. Sam, who co-wrote the script, said the story evolved from one simple question. What if the world's greatest atheist had something happen to him that challenged his worldview? Releasing October 27th, Let There Be Light has been called the quote-unquote antidote to the tragic films Hollywood releases. Watch the Let There Be Light trailer and find a theater near you at the website lettherebelightmovie.com. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Monday, October 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2017. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.